strikes me is search me. And, you know, when you see a different reaction in yourself, and you know that it's Holy Spirit that has actually activated something, it makes you aware that he not only searching and going in, but at the same time empowering. Because without the empowerment to carry out something, to come out of your soul, to come out of your emotions, to come out of the war games that are going on, even when you're facing surgery and you don't want to, but you purpose by choice, Lord, you know my thoughts, you know, do something. I'm hurting, my eyes are crying tears that I didn't even know I owned because I lost something very special. Whatever that happens to be, you know, search me. And that is humility. That is humility. The first thing I want to share with you is this. I was in the spirit this afternoon, and when I came out of the spirit, I heard these words loud. There is a mighty plan unfolding. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to do double duty here, and I didn't, so forgive me, guys. Okay, we get all kinds of bells, right? Okay, say, Lord Jesus, I need eyes to see, ears to hear, and my heart is perceiving that I am needing you more than ever. So these are the words that I heard this afternoon. There is a mighty plan unfolding. Those were the loudest words. There is a mighty plan unfolding. So I took out my pad and I grabbed a pencil and I began to write, which I did. There is a mighty plan unfolding. Then I heard, get ready. This plan will not fail because I am in control. Just keep your eyes on the solution and not on the issues. This will topple your peace and rattle your nerves. Trust and obey. I like the part, you know, this is going to rattle and topple your peace and rattle your nerves. Because again, the minute we start looking at the issue or the problem or whatever it happens to be that we're faced with, we need to go out and cry out for him to do something. And that's what I keep hearing all of you saying. Yep. There is a mighty plan unfolding. The word plan and mighty seem to be emphasized. Get ready. This plan will not fail because I am in control. Just keep your eyes on the solution and not on the issue, with an S, issues. This will topple your peace and rattle your nerves. Trust and obey. Trusting is pretty tough because it's going to take you and me out of the control room. And the scripture he gave me was in 1 Peter 5. I was pressed to go to a particular page number in one of the books that I've kind of parked for a while, but it bounced back again. And for those of you who have the Thrones of the Soul, it's page 73. So I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to go to the word. And it really is about verse 5, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because Now, there's a reason. And see, when I am in servitude to my brother or my sister or both, God is looking at my heart. If I'm in judgment against the doctor, if I'm in judgment against whoever happens to be in the control room, the more you push those buttons, it's you that now becomes the controller. And that is not humility. That is control. That is Jezebel. And, you know, all I can tell you is it's going to produce a harvest. And I don't want to be there when you harvest. I might want to be there to help you recover. Because if you think I didn't get caught, I've got news for you. So the scripture says, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Now, I'm going to park there for a minute. Because when I got to that particular part of the word, I happened to had a flashback. How many of you did get to listen to John Paul Jackson that I gave you the website on Sunday? Okay. Part of his conversation is about when God removes his hand. Okay. And because we go on our own, God pulls back. So the hand of God is there as protection. And when we go off into the control corner, he pulls his hand away. And he says, you want to do it your way? Go ahead. I'll watch and I'll pick up the pieces when you crash, which is what the word said. You know, if you decide that you're going to do your own thing, keep your eyes on the solution, not on the issues. See, the solution is Christ, the anointed one. The solution is Holy Spirit giving you instructions. And Ron and I were talking this afternoon, and he asked me a question about some of the material that, you know, he releases to me. And like I told him, I get to the point that if I have an overload of negative material, it irritates me. And it's not an irritation from my soul. It's an irritation from my spirit, because it's robbing me of my focus on the Lord. So I have to be careful what I allow to go into my eyes and my ears, because it is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I don't want to feed on that tree, because if I do, I fail. Now, two trees in the garden, you guys know about that story. You know about the book. The suggestion is take a good look at that scripture where it says the tree of the demonic kingdom is knowledge. And when you and I feed on knowledge, be careful. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I've been working for the Lord for how many years? And it was kind of cute. The other night, I was kind of in an odd space and thinking about some of the things that, you know, I was a part of for many years. And God had to move a gentleman all across the country to open the door for me to receive Holy Spirit. I mean, he packed his baggage, whatever he could salvage from his apartment, with three kids, okay? They moved back east, and they ended up in one of my apartments. Well, that wasn't what he had planned, but it was what God had planned. I had made an offer at Christmas time when I learned that he was coming back, because he and I were good friends. And I made an offer to his sister, because she already had 10 children and they were going to move in, which, by the way, they did. But they were also going to park all their goodies in my buddy's garage. So I said, well, I have place in the warehouse if you want to put your stuff in my warehouse. Long story short, that's what they did when they pulled in from California. They backed up into the edge of the warehouse and we piled everything in and left the truck outside. So that a few days later, one of my tenants left. And so there was a four-room apartment, which is what they needed. So they ended up moving right upstairs so we could go my back door and yell at their open window and we could communicate. And of course, they came down for coffee more often than not. So the rest is story. Is, again, we humbled ourselves. We helped. We did whatever we needed to do. And I can see Holy Spirit activating all that this morning. This morning, I had an appointment with my banker. And it happens to be a young lady. She's probably close to 30. And so she needed some paperwork from me because the previous manager lost it. Where they lost it, I don't know. But again, you know, I had to bring all the material to get her to copy it and put everything back so that she could go forward with some decisions that need to be made. So she points out that she had a marvelous Mother's Day, but she started to open up about her life. And I won't go into the details of that. But she's a good Catholic Italian girl. And now she's going through a divorce. Well, that opened up. Ooh, okay. And so by the time we communicated her little story that she allowed to come in, and I told her what I did for years. And the next thing you know, I'm standing next to her desk and I said, I think we need that front paw. We need to pray for that front paw because it looks like there's a few injuries. And so she put out her right hand and I began to pray and the Lord did what he needed to do. Now, I ended up talking about my charismatic experience, all that stuff, because she's a good Catholic. And I said, well, you need living water. Do you know what living water is? And she said, no. So I explained the woman at the well that she needed. And I said, you're a candidate. So after we got done praying, I gave her a little bit of a hug because I could tell. She says, you got to get out of here because I'm about to cry and I can't afford to cry. So what does God do? He spreads a little grace, a little bit of favor. But God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Because I was humbling myself, sharing with her my own brokenness and how God, with his living water, changed my life. Now, verse 8 says, 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The because he cares for you needs to be emphasized in your life. I want releasing that truth that God loves you, God cares for you. I remember Joseph Prince's words that I am beautifully made and that my father loves me and cares for me. Well, if you think I could write that down, there was no way. Now, that must be 10 years ago. And I couldn't, Lord, I can write this, but I know I don't mean it. Because my own criticalness, my own legal thought patterns would not allow me to be comfortable saying that God cares for me. God cares for this guy over here. He cares for that girl over there. He cares for the dogs and the cats, but you know, kind of left me out. Because again, of the trauma that we lived through, the soulish coordinates, how powerful they are if we pay attention to them. And they are. And so, again, because he cares for me, 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Why is he doing that? Because he's looking for an opportunity. Because he can smell the pain in you. Now, that may not sound godly, but when you and I are in pain, I don't mean physically, I mean emotionally, there is an odor. Do you ever walk into a room where someone is dying of cancer? And you can literally smell the death presence in that room? If you've never had that, then you won't understand this. Because, see, when he's literally checking you and me out to see if we're full of joy and love, that is also going to have an aroma. If you're full of praise and giving thanks, that has an aroma. But if you're under that other anointing, then that smell will be familiar to him, and he's going to hang out. He's going to hang out, and he's going to try to devour. Why? Because something familiar inside of you and me is attracting him. By the way, it's not just the dogs that have a good sniffer. The enemy does too. I can tell you this. There were times that I've ministered to people over the years that when I would walk into the room that I had to literally hold my nose because the stench of corruption. Do you ever walk into a dump area and there's all kinds of decay? It has its own odor. I've walked into that. I've walked into the barnyard of some people's room and I could tell that there's filth there. Now, how did I survive? I literally told the Lord, you got to do something about my nose because my whole being can't operate in this reality, in this atmosphere. And at one point, he just filled the room with roses. And the roses were so strong that I got drunk on the smell. So that's another story. Why? Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Spiritual suffering, physical suffering. You can't say one is better than the other. They're both ugly. And they are painful. But therefore, there is a mighty plan unfolding. Get ready. This plan will not fail because I am in control. Just keep your eyes on the solution and not on the issues. This will topple your peace and rattle your nerves. Just trust and obey. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to digest this word. And I want to remember that when I humble myself under God's mighty hand, he will lift me up in due time. So I'm casting all my anxiety and all the tactics of the darkness totally on him, because he cares for me. I stress the reality. My Heavenly Father loves and cares for me. I don't care what the emotions say. The truth is, my Father cares and loves me. So it's easy to be self-controlled. And I will sniff out the enemy before he shows up. Because the odor always comes first before they walk through the door. So develop my sniffer, Lord. And don't let me off the hook. If I smell garbage, then there's a garbage man coming through. Or a garbage demon. And I don't want him in my house. I don't want him around me. Because I know that my Father loves me. And he cares for me. Just as I am.